Good morning, everybody. What a wonderful way to begin our time together this morning, witnessing and welcoming a new member to our meeting. I'm not sure which actually it is that gets your heartstrings pulled more. It's to witness your own daughter to entering the waters of baptism, or to see your family here to be able to share in that, or even to look around and to realize the efforts that some people have gone and the distance they've traveled to be here with us this morning. So I guess it doesn't really matter which, it's the combination of those that can really get to us, but we are so appreciative that you can be here with us today. And I know Max said in his prayer, because we often talk about what it says in Luke 15 and 7, where there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 90 and 9 who don't think that they need to repent. But I think there's not only is there joy in heaven in what was witnessed today, but there's joy and happiness within this very room. As we heard you, Leah, publicly confess your faith in God and your desire to serve Him. And you're surrounded this morning by loved ones, and some with your natural family, but many more now, what we refer to as a spiritual family. It seems like the world around us is filled with uncertainty. And yet today, Leah, you chose certainty. A certainty that God has to offer you by beginning a journey and a walk in His ways and the opportunity to receive access to His wonderful blessings. We read this morning from the Gospel of John in chapter 8 that if you want help navigating through the challenges of this often conflicting world and the issues that are confronting us each day, if you want help navigating, Jesus said that He was the light of the world, and that he who follows Him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In fact, that chapter in John this morning, I think, highlighted for us, and the way John has written the gospel in particular, highlights for us that journey that people go on, that individuals go on in their lives. Because what we see in the many interactions that Jesus had with the people that he was speaking with in the gospel of John, it tells us that there was many who believed in who he was. But by saying that many believed who he was, it also indicated that many didn't believe. In fact, the word believe in John is used over 25 times. And I think it tells us the importance in the message that he's trying to get out of making belief an important component of your life. So I'd just like to look briefly at John in chapter 8 and to highlight a little bit of what Jesus was saying there. And we'll start in John 8 in verse 24. John 8 and 24, Jesus says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." And so they were saying to Him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from Him, these I speak to the world." And they did not realize that He had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." And then it says in verse 30 that as He spoke these things, many came to believe in Him. And again, as we said, this isn't that dissimilar from today, is it? There's many different ideas about who and what it means to follow God. And many hear his words but make a choice not to follow. And the Gospel of John highlights an individual for us that isn't highlighted in any other Gospels. And it's a common individual that we talk to when we consider baptism. In fact, we were speaking a little bit about it in the Sunday school class this morning. And that man is Nicodemus. It's interesting when we consider Nicodemus. If we just go back to John chapter 3, again, this is consistent with that snippet that we get of individuals in their lives and their associations with Jesus. In John chapter 3, we're introduced to the man at the very beginning where it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said, are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? And so here we have the language used that says that this man came by night to Jesus, and he was a Pharisee, who we know of were the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people in Jesus' time. And he came in secret. That's why it tells us he came at night. He came in secret because although he saw something quite special in Jesus, he wasn't prepared to stand out yet amongst his peers to suggest that he might believe. And so he starts talking to Jesus, who immediately shifts the conversation and says what we just read, truly, truly, I say to you, that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so that's what we have this morning in this simple act that Leah did today. See, Nicodemus had come to acknowledge that no man, he saw something in Jesus to the point where he said, no man can do these things unless he'd come from God. But Jesus pointed out to him that until we can make a formal commitment to God through the waters of baptism, that our knowledge of him is not relevant, and we're not in the same type of relationship with him until we are. And so the simple act that you did today, Leah, is one of a public confession, not an open willingness to show that you're prepared to follow God. Not coming under the guise of darkness, but in the open and before all of us here. Nicodemus comes up again in chapter 7 of John, but only really as part of a conversation amongst the Pharisees about Jesus. And he seems to come to Jesus' defense, or at least he diffuses the rest of the Pharisees' anger towards what Jesus was doing. I think for us, it's put there, and you can see he comes up in verse 50, as really a subtle indication that his belief was continuing to grow stronger. Because the only other time we hear about Nicodemus then is at the very end of John, in John chapter 19. And in fact, this is the time after Jesus has been crucified, and those were looking for a place for him to be buried. And at this time, Nicodemus was no longer concerned about necessarily taking care of this under the guise of darkness. In John chapter 19, And in John chapter 19 and in verse 38, it says, after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away the body. And Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. And so they took the body of Jesus, they bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom. And so here we find Nicodemus at the third encounter that we hear of the name. He's assisting, finally, in the burial of the Lord Jesus. And it seems at this point that Nicodemus was fully prepared, as we said, to be seen assisting the man who had given his life for the sins of the world. So Lee, I'm so happy that you have come to this decision in your life. Because for those of us who've had the privilege of being a parent, I think it's also can be a very humbling experience. And I think I've said before, I'm not sure who's supposed to learn more from parenting, the child or the parent. But I think it's humbling for a number of reasons, but because I think in many ways you're always under a microscope. Your every word, your attitudes, your moods, your actions, all of those things are constantly observed, intentionally or unintentionally, and also under a sort of a quiet scrutiny, not always quiet scrutiny, but often a quiet scrutiny. And so all of my shortcomings, I think, seem to become more prominent, I guess is what I'm saying. And our role as a parent is really to walk with our children, isn't it? And as they're young, we may be way out in front of them. So we're forging the path. We're setting the direction. And they're a little bit further behind. But as they start to grow, slowly they're getting closer and closer to us in that walk. They're keeping up with us. And then they get to the point where, like today, they're walking side by side. But as a parent, we can only walk with them so far. And so it's up to them as an individual to begin that walk independently of us. In faith, on their own, with their Heavenly Father. And that's what we witness today. And I'm always amazed, despite my shortcomings, that God can still accomplish His purpose. I'm thankful, but I'm amazed. But we should never really be surprised at the results that God can bring about. When Leah approached us to indicate she wanted to be baptized, I still remember an element of disbelief on my part. Not because of anything inherent in Leah, but more because of what you feel in terms of inadequacy as a parent. And this example of inadequacy sort of comes through in a number of examples, but I think of a time when, it might not be the best example, but I remember I was fishing, you know, I was taking Josh fishing. We were going out for the first time in a lake. And, so as a father, you want to make an impression. And, you go to the local shop and ask, you know, what are the guys using to catch fish these days? And you make sure that you've got everything that you think you need to make the catch. And you find the locations that are good. And you row out to the spot that you're going to go. And you sit there. And we were sitting there for probably about 45 minutes. And, you know, I had confidence that I was using everything that we were supposed to be using. And it was just one of those no fish biting days. Until some guy in a pontoon thing, comes over and he sets up shop, not more than sort of 20 feet from me. And he looked like he was using a fly. I was using a fly. We had similar equipment. Of course he has two lines and he drops one and he drops them both and he was sitting there. About 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, we've got a fish. And so it was okay, you know, he could have been lucky. And he's starting to reel his fish in, but he stops. He looks at his other rod. He had to put that one down to catch the other fish on his other rod. And at that point, I remember the look in Josh's face at me, because I can no longer say that, you know, it must be a bad fishing day. But then I think sticking to this theme of fishing, more recently we were fishing for salmon. And again, I remember you find out the location, you do the right things, and all of a sudden, I still remember this, we were fishing, and all of a sudden, something big took the bait off of our downrigger, and we had fish on. And I still remember, again, the disbelief that I had that, oh, I guess sometimes these things do work. And so, I guess the point that we're trying to say is that we shouldn't be surprised when we're doing the things right. Now, the example that we can think of there is in John chapter 21, isn't it? When Jesus comes from the shore, he yells to Simon Peter, who tells him, 21 verse 3, he says, "I'm going fishing," Simon Peter says. So they said, "We'll come with you." And so they went out, they got into the boat, and at that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, and the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus called out to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" And they said, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." And so they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. And so I guess what we can say really with that is without trusting in God and of his Son, he enables these things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so I think this morning I'm really reminded of how important it is to keep doing the things that you think you should be doing, even if we don't see immediate results. And then by adding prayer and the help of others, we should never be surprised really at what God can accomplish. So today, Leah, we say it is your birthday with a new Father, the Heavenly Father, our God and Creator. And I think my role as your father is somewhat similar to the role of John the Baptist, who was to try and to prepare the hearts and minds of the people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came onto the scene, John slowly, gradually crept into the background. He said of himself that he must decrease and the Lord Jesus must increase. And so, Leah, is a case between your earthly father and your heavenly father. For I must decrease while he increases in your life. But I'll always be here for you. But you, like us, have committed your life to him. And that means also to us here in this room, your brothers and sisters. So your journey begins now with the sharing of the bread and the wine. Our journey has been ongoing, and we're so pleased that another has joined with us in that precious hope of eternal life in the kingdom of God. And so always remember, Leah, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.